Okay, so thank you just where you are at the moment. Well, that really is our prayer. We do believe that you reign in us, that you're the king of our lives, that it's your spirit that fundamentally guides us. We want that to happen more and more. Want it to happen without interruption. It happens to us continuously. Want to happen in the deepest parts of our personalities. That you're the one who rules in our hearts. Father, we pray that we'll meet you as we gather together tonight. We'll learn to recognise you better, so that when you're there on the way, we've got our heads down, we'll recognise your presence in the everyday as well as the exceptional. Father, be with us, we pray. Grant her freedom to Barbara tonight, to bring what's on her heart and the bits that are on her heart that are important to us.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, thanks, Lawrence. Back to you as well.
No, I was thinking about this. I thought, oh my goodness, I've been so confused. But I just thought the Lord has been speaking to me about, you know, how we. He wants us to move out and talk. And I was looking at Mark chapter 6 and the first 6 verses really. Can I just read this to you? It says, I'm reading in the Amplified version. Which I'll get some groans from people I know. Jesus went away from there and came to his own country and hometown, Nazareth, and his disciples followed with him. On the Sabbath he began to teach the synagogue. The many who listened to him were utterly astonished, saying, "Where did this man acquire all this? What is the wisdom, the broad and full intelligence which has been given to him? What mighty works and exhibitions of power are wrought by his hand. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here among us?" And they took offence at him and were hurt. That is, they disapproved of him, and it hindered them from acknowledging his authority, and they were caused to stumble and fall. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honour, deference, reverence, except in his own country, and among his relatives, and in his own house. And he was not able to do even one work of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sickly people and cured them. And he marvelled because of their unbelief, of their lack of faith in him. And he went about among the surrounding villages and continued teaching." Struck me that here's how he was affected, because I know I'm here in your midst and I'm not known, and I'm waiting for you to start throwing the stones at me. But so how easy it is. We could even put on our own doing another thing. But he took it quite quietly and went on to the next, wherever it was, and did his work there. And it's so easy for if you heard me yesterday on when my computer went wrong, you would have known how put off I was. But you know, it's so easy to think, "Oh, I can't do this," and I am liable to do that in lots of places and lots of things. I was very taken yesterday because I met Marianne in town. And she said to me, "Have you been through Wilco's yet?" And I said, "No," because when I had this problem with my heart in May, it was in Wilco's that I actually was flaking out and they had to send me to hospital. And I had not been frightened of going in there. I think I was embarrassed more than anything. So she said, come on, we'll go into Wilco's. So we went and had a walk around Wilco's. I didn't speak to anyone there because I couldn't remember the names of the people that I saw. You know, it's so easy to get put off by things. At least I am. I'm a bit of a chicken man. But, you know, Jesus must have felt quite hurt, I would have thought. I would have been hurt. And I'd have probably gone off in a huff. But he wasn't. He went off to the next village and was able to teach and reach out to people. But it's quite hard, I think. And sometimes it's hard for people who know us and our circumstances and believe they see our failings to accept what we say God has taught us. You know, he speaks to all of us when we're open to him. I was thinking about my own background. You know, I wasn't born in a Christian home. My mother was a gypsy. My father was a Cockney. And neither went to church. But they sent me to church from the age of 3 years because it was on a Sunday afternoon and they had a sleep on a Sunday afternoon, so they would send us along. The church was just down the road. But I thank God for that. I really thank God for that because I can still remember I was there at three and the very first song I learned to sing was "Yes, Jesus Loves Me," and I used to sing that all along, you know. And I actually stayed at the church for a long time. In fact, I was 13 when I decided I was going to leave. But that was only because the cinema started in the olden days. You know, cinemas weren't open all the time. But Sunday afternoon, the cinema decided that they were going to open up, especially focusing on the teenagers in our area. And it meant I wanted to go with my friends from school to the cinema on a Sunday afternoon. And my father, who didn't know God, said, "No, you lot. That's not right. That's not religious. That's not right." So I left school because I was a bit of a, you know, I went against what my father was saying. I said, "You can't do." But you know, I was a bit cross. You know, why should I be different? But I decided that it wasn't good fighting my dad anyway. But then after a while, when I was 16 and a half, I met a teacher. My twin brother and sister's teacher. And we decided we wanted to get married. He was a little bit older than me. And he had a job offered him in the Far East with the British forces. We were very excited about it all. Well, I never knew. I had never been out of England. In fact, I'd hardly been out of London. So it was exciting to think about. But you know, for me, it was very difficult because suddenly I became an army officer's wife. And here's me, there's this little girl from the back streets of London whose family were mostly gypsies or cockneys. It was a very difficult thing to do. But God had his hand on me for some reason. But I knew there was more to life in all the things that we did, like going to the mess, the officer's mess, and becoming an officer's lady. But I didn't like it at all. But I really knew there was more to life. And when we know that, we have to do something, well, we should do something about it. So I went to classes on Islam, Hinduism and Buddhism, but nothing spoke to me at all. I felt there's an emptiness here I couldn't cope with. And then I spoke to an Australian girl who was teaching in Kuala Lumpur, and she mentioned me to someone at her church. And two ladies suddenly turned up on my doorstep in Kuala Lumpur. And it turned out they were from the Brethren Church. And they just came to visit me, and they were very kind, because I had two little ones at that stage. And but actually they were so kind, they led me to Jesus. And when I was thinking about that, I thought, well, you know, so often we miss out on that sort of thing, because if you don't go and visit people and get to know people, how can you tell them about Jesus? And then I was thinking, you know, how do I go about this? I know my husband was very anti. So it wasn't easy. But when I thought about Jesus, and when I was reading this section from Mark 6, I suddenly thought, gosh, you know, that was hard for my husband to accept that I was getting involved with all these. They were local people, they weren't army people. So I didn't really like all the army people. I hope nobody's in the army here. But you know, it's something that I had to have the courage to do. But it was amazing, really. I learned such a lot. But then, after I'd just become a Christian, just a short while afterwards, about 2 months, the lady that ran the ladies' meeting in the Brethren Assembly came to me and said, Barbara, we'd like you to give your testimony at the church. There's a big ladies' meeting happening at the church. And I nearly died on the spot. But, you know, it's so... Well, I thought, well, yes, well, I can tell them how I came to Jesus. And I did, in about two sentences. And I broke down. And I was so upset, so ashamed. I said, that's it. Never going to speak to adults again. Never. And I didn't for many years, actually. I did a lot of children's work and teenage work. But I didn't speak about Jesus. And that, to adults. It was the other people who thought I was barmy anyway. And it was very difficult. Now, working that through was hard, because at one stage I wanted to give up. Oh, enough, I can't cope with this anymore. But a very nice American missionary lady came and chatted with me. And we spent a lot of time together. And she pointed me in the way of, well, the other way for me to go. And said, you don't have to leave, Barbara, just look at it and pray about it. So that was quite good. And then I came back to this country, and actually my husband left after 20-something years. But because he couldn't cope with me being a Christian, well, that was part of it anyway. It was a very difficult situation, a very difficult time. And I came back here and I had to this country and I had to find myself a job. And I was in London at the time because my mother was ill and I took after her. And then I got a job in England. And I was in charge of arranging speakers for churches who wanted to hear more about Tear Fund. And one day, the wife of George Hoffman, our founder, had been asked to speak at a large church in our area. On the morning of the meeting, I had a phone call from Mrs. Hoffman telling me that she could not do the meeting, as she had a very sore throat and very little voice. In distress, I went to my director and said, Steve, what shall I do? I can't get another person at this late notice. And he just looked at me and he said, you can. You do it. And I panicked like mad because I said, I can't. Steve, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. And he spent several hours talking to me about it and about what I could do at the meeting. I was so frightened. And I just said, I just had to say, Lord, I just can't do it on my own. And he said, you're not on your own. So I went forward to this church. It was quite a big church in Twickenham. And I actually enjoyed doing it. I found it was really good to be able to share about Tear Fund, but also to share about Jesus. Because it's easy to talk about Tear Fund, because, you know, we did some exciting things at Tear Fund. But then you start to talk, you've got to talk about Jesus. Let's see Jesus. And I think that we often step back and don't go that extra step to let people know who Jesus is. And actually, what I learned that day, when I went in fear and trepidation, the Lord took hold of my willingness and turned it into a triumph for his love. Because I suddenly thought, yes, I can talk to people about Jesus' love. And it came over when I was talking about Tear Fund, which I loved anyway. It was great to be able to talk to people and hear them come to me and say, when you said that, Barbara, I knew I had to do this. And I thought, wow, you know, this is amazing. not just to share about Tear Fund, because I would share about Tear Fund. Even now, I'll share about Tear Fund with anyone. But to be able to share about people's lives and their love. And I've done a lot of meetings with Tear Fund. And then I left Tear Fund because I was offered a job in Bath with a ministry to start up a prayer department. I said, Lord, is this what you want me to do?
Christians. And
And yet when I speak, they say, oh, Barbara, she's at it again. Yes, fair enough. That's probably it. But how easy it is to be put off. But Jesus wasn't. He stepped out. You know, and I think that's something we've got to learn to do. And that's the thing that really hit me, that I'm living in a Christian organisation place at the moment. And I do share the love of God with them, because sometimes I'm able to take their prayer, evenings of prayer. But it's so easy to sit back and think, no, we can't say anything to them. They might not like it. I mean, I don't know what the inmates at Leonora Home think of me, but they still ask me to take their prayer meetings off, and that's okay. But loving God is not just sitting back and saying, yes, I'm loved. Yes, it's being able to step in whatever the Lord tells us to do. Assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God. That really struck me. Leaning the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience and our bodies cleansed with pure water. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure and faithful to his word. Wow. What should we be doing? Are we doing that here where we are? I've moved around a lot. A lot of you people have been in this area for a long time, so you're known. Whereas I can go in and make stupid mistakes and things, and they wouldn't mind, I think, I hope. So what should we do? Can we be like Jesus? Can we trust that he will be with us when we step out for him? I believe it. I have tried it and would encourage you to be the same. That's as much as I can say tonight. I just want to encourage you to step out for the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Before we move on, what I suggest we do is just take a moment or two to think of what you particularly got out of what Barbara had to say, and just tell somebody, just a way of sort of pegging it down, really. What did you take away? What's your take away?